So those that do not know, so Joey, the Lord has laid really a word in his heart for the next 3 weeks. We were going to go on a journey on how the Lord walked and led Israel and how it applies to us today. And even that last song that came, as Lord, is about you, Lord. We give it to you, Lord. That the moment we step out of you, Lord, out from under the cloud, out from where you are leading, Lord, out from away from that path is where we will struggle. Okay, so Lord, I lift up Joey to you, Lord, and Lord, I pray for your anointing this morning, Lord, just to lead him, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will discern and hear you clearly, Lord, that as he's delivering this word, Lord, that you've given him, that you will know what you want to highlight, what you want to add to, where you want to shift, Lord, what's important. Lord, I pray that you will, it's like almost like he's preaching, Lord, that you, your spirit will lead him, Lord, into everything he shares, Lord. So I thank you for a man that loves you, that didn't come up with things, Lord, but spend time before you to hear your voice for your people. And Lord, we will receive it. All those words that we sang about, come, Lord, and open our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and prepare our hearts for what you're going to do. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Morning, guys. Lovely to be with you again. Last week, we, you know, the life of an elder and lead elder, sometimes a week feels like a lifetime. I can't even remember what I preached last Sunday. I just remember a few guys saying that it was good. What did I even preach on? I preached on come to Jesus. There you go. So, I'm starting today a three-week series on entering your promised land, and we're going to look at the example of the Israelites as an illustration. Before I go there, maybe we can just bring up Hebrews, what's that scripture that I gave you, Mariki? Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I need God's grace the most right now. There was a few prophetic words earlier, and one of them was demonic forces resisting. I'm actually struggling this morning, to be honest. I don't have sin or anything like, but I can feel demonic resistance to this message. And it's like, just, it's, I'd say, you got to bear with me. Not for my sake, but for the sake of the word of God. And the anointing breaks the yoke. So why don't we just pray together that just as anointing will come, and that we could, even for myself as I deliver the message, because that demonic forces will resist, particularly in our individual lives, because this word is supposed to prepare an army. It's supposed to make you a fighter and to be the fighter that God, that Jesus died on the cross for. So Lord, we just pray for your anointing right now. I pray for your help upon myself right now, Lord God. And yeah, just agree with me. We pray for Joey. Yeah, Lord, that your anointing would be here, because the anointing breaks the yoke, not fancy words and not eloquent preachers, but the power of your word, Jesus, that you let in my heart, that we journey on the next 3 weeks, God. That, Lord God, that you would deliver with your power and not through eloquent words and not through clever whatever, Lord. But, Lord, that we would be in your hands, Jesus, and that you would take us, Lord God, where you want us to be and where you want to take us. And everyone said, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in the story of the Israelites, we know that they started in Egypt, where they were captives as slaves, and they journeyed from Egypt to the promised land. And that journey had good things, and it had bad things. So some of you may recall, if you were born in the 70s or before, you remember an old Western, one of the most famous Western movies with Clint Eastwood in, called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If you haven't seen it, it's a classic. So this journey over 3 weeks, I'm going to change that title slightly. We're going to call it The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful. And today we're going to do The Good, and that's how Israel started. Israel started amazing. And that's the good. Then they went through the bad. And eventually, because of God's faithfulness, they entered the beautiful. So we'll do the good today. We'll do the bad next week. If there's another preacher we feel on our hearts, if the elders feel as a team, we'll just reschedule. But I'll get through them. The good, the bad, and eventually we'll get to the best, which is the beautiful. And the beautiful is about the Joshua generation. And this church is called the Joshua generation. And the Joshua generation was the generation that entered the promised land. And we'll look at five facets of the Joshua generation that that gave them that success as they trust in the Lord. So what is your promised land? So we know that for the Israelites, it was a geographical piece of land. What is your promised land? It's what the Lord took hold of you for. One day he gripped you, took you in his hands, and he gripped you for something. There's a scripture that's just vaguely coming to me right now that he's taking hold of us for something. Yeah? Anyone find that scripture? But he took hold of us for something. But many of us just sit on the edge of the promised land, but we don't enter in. And we see, which we'll do next week, the bad, is an entire generation just sat on the edge of the promised land, but they didn't enter in. And why did they not enter in? Maybe there was a variety of reasons, but one of the main things was fear, not lack of faith. Another one was not trust in God. And God grabbed hold of you to take you somewhere. But to some degree, it's your choice about whether you sit on the edges of that promised land or whether you actually go into your promised land. What did God call you to? What are the things that he gripped you and grabbed hold of you for? He grabbed hold of you to be in a fight. What are the things that you're fighting for? What are the things in family that you're fighting for? What are the things in workplace that you're fighting for? What are the things in ministry that you're fighting for? God wants to give you the victory. You can stand on the edge of that or you can enter in. So God wants us to shine and bear fruit. John 15, 16. Is this making sense before I go there? For lack of vision, my people perish. What's the vision in your heart? There was this, a scripture earlier, or a prophetic word earlier, that said, some might be in a place where our hearts are not awakened, not yet awakened. Demonic forces are resisting. You're in a fight. And you've got to start with vision for your life. There are things holding you back. And God is calling us to enter in. There's a boldness that God wants to place in our hearts. Let's just go back to that Hebrews 4:16, Mariki, that one that we started off with. So let us come boldly. There needs to be a certain amount of front-footedness in us for us to get into our promised land, a certain amount of aggression, a certain amount of cockiness, a certain amount of like, I'm going to take this. And if there's a timidity a little bit of backfootedness, we won't enter in. So John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Everyone say bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And the issue is really, when I look at the whole series, what I'm pregnant with, if you know that phrase, I'm pregnant with some word that I'm trying to give birth to now, is who is in control? Are you in control? Or is Jesus in control? And there's that, you know, it's gospel song. Whether it's a gospel song or not, it's up for debate. But it's called Jesus Take the Wheel. And is Jesus got the steering wheel now? Or have you got the steering wheel right now? Or have you got the steering wheel and life is going fine, and then as soon as you go through tough times or face something that's too hectic for you to deal with, or a circumstance or a problem that's too great, do you say to Jesus, okay, hold on, I'll take back the wheel now, Jesus. It doesn't seem like you're doing a great job. You're steering me into territory that's like I don't want to go into. And I'm sure the Israelites felt like that. They faced obstacles. This is the irony. The irony is they started so well. I mean, they were released from Pharaoh. I mean, that was a miracle in itself to be released from. Pharaoh was not going to let those slaves go free. I mean, they were doing a serious amount of work for him. They did well. They allowed God to do that. They went through the Red Sea, which is like, I mean, through the middle of an ocean on dry land. They experienced so many great things, yet later on when they were going to enter the promised land, they stopped. No, this is too heavy. They started so well, and we started so well as well. And I'm going to jump now. So in the journey of the Israelites, they start in Egypt. And this is our starting point too. Egypt can represent our old lives. And Pharaoh is like Satan. He oppressed the Hebrew people so that they cried out. We also were under the yoke of the devil, as the Bible says, hating and being hated. Titus 3:3 says, and this is talking about us before we got saved. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. So it says there, see the word, second line there, enslaved. At one time, we too were enslaved. So at one time, we were also slaves in Egypt. And Egypt is representative of our old lives in the world. Titus 3:4-6, but God set us free. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Have you totally left Egypt and your old life, or does Egypt and the world still have a hold over you? Does its charms still enrapture you? So that journey together with God began with Egypt, with Israel leaving Egypt. Have you left your old life? Have you left the world? Or are there parts of you that still long for the old things that you were involved with? One day, each one of us want to stand before God and we want to hear these words, Matthew 25:23. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But if you keep the wheel, if you keep holding the steering wheel, you could miss out on what He has for you. Or will you let Jesus take the wheel? Whether we like it or not, God seems to set us up for what seems like impossible circumstances or problems. How many times in the Christian walk do we end up at a place where I can't believe I've come to this place where this thing feels so hard? I can't believe I've come to this place where this thing seems so impossible. I thought as I started this journey with God that it would just be this flow, but suddenly we're faced with an obstacle that's so tough for us that we're so tempted in that moment to want to grab the steering wheel. It's like, Jesus, yeah, you know, when life is going well, and Jesus, drive. It's feeling lekker. But as soon as we come to something that is so formidable, we're like, the temptation to grab that hold of that steering wheel is so strong in us. And it's in that moment that we need to put ourselves into the hands of God and say, God, I want to touch that steering wheel, but I'm going to just trust you and that you're going to be able to take me through this. And there's this old surf movie. I'm a surfer most of my life, so surf movies are important to me. And there was a bunch of pro surfers, and they tackle these massive waves. Waves that are so huge that the name of the surf movie is In God's Hands. And when they left Egypt, they were in God's hands. And they knew they were in God's hands. And they just gave themselves to God's hands. And he just did miracle after miracle. But when they stood at the promised land, they took themselves out of God's hands and they took themselves into their own hands. And that's when it started going pear. Does everyone understand that? That's when it started going off the rails. That's the irony. When you take the wheel, that's when it starts to go off God's course for you. You've got to let him hold that steering wheel. And how it started is how it should end. And it started with him when he took hold of you and he made you born again and he saved you by his spirit. And you've got to stay in that place of vulnerability. You've got to stay in that place where you say, God, you started this and you will finish it. So the first, what should I do next? Okay, let me do baptism next. So from Egypt, God takes them to the Red Sea, and next year I'll show you on a geographical map a few candidates for the Red Sea crossing. It actually happened. And there was actually a pharaoh as well, and I'll show you a candidate for the pharaoh. Like, they literally, you know that the papyrus record shows almost all the pharaohs, and there's 170 of them through the few thousand years that Egypt was a superpower. And there actually is a candidate for the pharaoh. His name is Thutmosis III. His great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson was Tutankhamun. We all know King Tut, yeah? So there actually literally is a candidate for the pharaoh, and there's some circumstances. The scholars believe it's him for certain reasons. I'll let you guys know next week. We'll go through that. It's super interesting. And you can do your research as well on Google. It's a million sites on it. And there actually is candidates for the Red Sea crossing. These things actually happened. It's not just a fable. It's a story. And they crossed the Red Sea. And 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, yeah, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors. This is with reference to Israel. In the wilderness long ago, all of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them, now let me talk about the cloud first now. So, if Egypt is, should I do cloud? Okay, let me just finish baptism and I'll come back to cloud. By a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. Romans 6, 3 to 4. So the Red Sea for us is symbolic of baptism. Or don't you know that all of us, so as the Israelites were baptized into Moses, or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Have you been baptized? Because baptism is a powerful act into the Spirit, that the power of the enemy has been broken over you through the blood of Jesus. The old part of you has died. The old man has died. We know that the Israelites crossed through on dry ground, and then Pharaoh's army, if it's true, Thutmose III's massive army, and he was one of the greatest generals of Egyptian history, 17 successful military campaigns, a massive army. His son, can't remember his name, ended up with super weak in history. And the theory is that because Pharaoh's entire army, Thutmose III, was destroyed in the Red Sea, so that his son had to build from scratch again. And that's the 17th campaign was the last campaign they ever saw. That as the Red Sea closed again, Pharaoh's entire army was swallowed up. And Pharaoh would never have sent his army following the Israelites through the Red Sea if he had known what was going to happen. And Satan would never have crucified Christ on the cross if he knew what was going to happen. And it says, yeah, so the power of God, the power of the devil is broken over you. And that event with Pharaoh's army being destroyed in the Red Sea was a public spectacle. It was an open spectacle. And Colossians 2, 13 to 15 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And this part here. So picture the power over the Israelites was Pharaoh's army. That is what controlled the Israelites. Pharaoh's army was the thing that held them, that they couldn't escape. And God destroyed that army. He destroyed the power that Egypt and Pharaoh had over the Israelites. And Jesus has destroyed the power that the devil and his demons have over your life. And he's nailed it to the cross. And he made a public spectacle of Satan and his power. If we look at that, Colossians 2, 13 to 15, verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Can't even talk this morning. The cross was a public spectacle of Satan's defeat. So was the Red Sea miracle. So, if you haven't been baptized yet, get baptized, because you're going through the Red Sea. You're saying, Satan is destroyed. In some cultures, until they get baptized, there isn't any real recognition of conversion. Because, particularly in the East, I can think of Thailand, for example, because they recognize something spiritual about baptism. You can make a confession of Christ, but until you've actually been baptized, there isn't that sense that spiritual yoke has been broken. Because they understand, sometimes in the East, they understand, I mean, lived in Indonesia for 8 years, they understand spiritual things better than secular Western worlds. They understand that there's power that the devil has over people, and only as they've made a confession of Christ and been baptized, and I'm not putting it as a prerequisite or condition for salvation, but it certainly has something that happens then. It's a declaration into the spiritual realm. The old man has died, the new man is coming forth, and Satan has no more hold over me. Amen? So that was the Red Sea crossing. Okay, I promise you the cloud. So the cloud is what guided the Israelites. So they left Egypt, and then the Bible says that there was a pillar of cloud by day, and that there was a pillar of fire by night. Exodus chapter 13:21. Is this going right? Are you guys getting this? I really want you guys to get excited about the journey of the Israelites, because we're going to be with it for 3 weeks. So if you're getting into the story, you're going to enjoy it. If you're not, I'm hoping to get you there. Because it's remarkable the similarities between the journey of Israel between Egypt and the Promised Land. And it's remarkable how similar that is to our journey from our old lives to our Promised Land. And I really feel like we can get some keys in that regard. And let me tell you why. I'm just jumping back a little bit. So in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now if you go into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10, it says warnings from Israel's history. Okay? Warnings from Israel's history. So this, the reference here is Israel and the stories of Israel. And it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So that scripture is saying that we can look to the Israelites as an example and as a warning for us, both good and bad. Yes, I'm not just sucking this out of my thumb. I'm saying, it says, look to the Israelites. Yeah? Everyone getting that? 1 Corinthians 10 says, warnings from Israel's history. So let's look at Israel's history so that we can, New Testament 1 Corinthians 10, receive an example and receive a warning, because for us, we are the culmination of ages to come. The picture of the Israelites was not the emphasis. We are the emphasis. Everything was pointing towards us as the children of God through the cross. So, back to the cloud. I'm jumping around all over this place. It's amazing. I'm doing quite well. Eh? I'm up and down my nose. Wow. Okay. So, Exodus 13:21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. And the cloud is representative of, in our lives, the Holy Spirit. John 14:6-7. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Don't you love the NLT? Just plain talk. But you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. So Jesus stated this before he went to the cross. He said, unless I go to the cross, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And that's why it says, later he'll be in you. He's gone to the cross. We've received him. And now he is in us. And that he is a guide to us. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God. So just as the Israelites were led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, we are led by the Holy Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Imagine what it would have been like to be sitting in the dark desert with no water and no food and wild jackals howling in the background and thinking that, wow, Egypt feels a lot better now than this, and having this pillar of fire right next to you. Imagine the comfort of that light and that fire next to them. They must have looked at that pillar of fire and gone, it must have just ministered to them. Does the Holy Spirit minister to you in those times where it's so dark, you're out in the desert, there's no food, there's no water, but you see that pillar of fire next to you and you're like, you're drawing from it. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Are we using the Holy Spirit? Sounds bad. Are we? But we are. We offered the Holy Spirit as not only a guide, but also a comforter. It would have been a great comforter to the Israelites. Amen? You guys need to be more excited about this. Our Lord, raise an army, Jesus. I feel like we need more vision. Anyone got vision on their hearts? Tanya, have you got any vision? We need vision. Vision for our lives. I feel like we need to maybe develop Promised Land a bit more. Because unless you know the prize and where you're going, that vision, you're not going to be that excited. My people perish for lack of vision. We've got to have vision in our lives. What's God's vision for your life? We need to have more prophecy. We need God speaking potential into our lives. We need to be praying for each other at the frontier, more prophesying vision. In community. Oh, community start this Wednesday. Is that right? Okay, amen. Woo! In community, prophesying vision over each other. This is what God has for you. Unless we get that vision of the promised land for each one of us, we're going to perish because we need to have that carrot in front of us. We need to have that hope. Yeah? Tanya, have you got anything? She's so on the spot. I hope she keeps to this message.
I got the approval. I was sharing with everyone this morning, in John 15, the Lord speaks about being plugged into Him. He is the vine. And we always read the scripture about that if we're not plugged in, it's like a branch taken out and it withers and it dies and then it gets thrown into the fire. And I actually just felt the Lord not speak to me about hell this morning, but actually it speaks about being consumed. And when we're not abiding in God, we're definitely consumed with sin. We're consumed with whatever Pharaoh, the Egyptians, the enslaved, we become enslaved in that thing. And the Lord was speaking to me about that when we abide in Him and the truth of His word abides in us, we can ask whatever we want. And I think, like as Joey was sharing, like we don't get lost in the desert. We don't complain in the desert. We don't. We need to remain abiding in Him, and that the word of truth continuously washes over us, so that at the end of that scripture it says, it speaks about that His joy may be made known full in us. And I think, like this morning, like Joey saying, we need to be excited, and when we're abiding in God, His joy is made full in us. And there is an excitement for more. Is that helpful?
Thank you. So I've been reading through Ephesians, and I've been so stuck on this, and I think it links also is because it's actually the word that you're bringing, just the scripture of it. So it's Ephesians 3, and it's actually a prayer from Paul. For a moment there, I'm like Peter Paul. For the Ephesians, and it says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of his fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I just think it's that feeling of like, it's to glorify the Lord, to bring glory to his name, but also to fully understand how much he loves us and to be so deeply rooted in that knowledge of his pure love for us, that we have got that strength and that faith to actually continue into what he's called us to.
Thank you, ladies. So maybe this community, I don't want to set direction without the rest of the elders, but consider it, community leaders, just prophesying of each other. Maybe some of you in the service today, you just feel like, I just don't have any vision for my life, and we can actually pray for you in the service. Anyone feeling like that? Just put your hand up. You're just really needing vision. Okay, there's a few. Why don't we just pause now? Like, why don't we just go straight in? We can carry on. Joe's got something as well. So maybe just those that need vision. Really, you need vision today. Why don't you just come up here? Just come stand at the front here and let's pray for you for whatever vision you have. Maybe someone can go into the keys. I think Kyra was on the keys there. And let's just trust the Lord would start to... What Donna prayed about, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know. And it's like we need to have that vision in our heart. It's just, as guys come up here, just some of the leaders can come out to start off with and just come pray for these guys and prophesy over them. And maybe just a few others of you would just get out of your seats and also come stand around and trust the Lord that you might have a prophecy for them as well. So, you see Auntie Patricia here? Just come forward and trust that the Lord will use you to prophesy. Let's get some prophecy flowing right now, because the Lord has got so many cool things. So, if you have been used in prophecy before, or you would like to be used in prophecy, come gather around these guys here. If more of you want prophecy, come up and say, I just want to be prophesied over. And let's the Lord just prophesy vision into your life. So just come up here, and I'll give a few more elders have got things to say. I know Joe's got something as well, Gavin.
So just an encouragement quickly is that something that really stirred for me. I know Joe's mentioned about the Holy Spirit, about being the cloud and the pillar, and where the word speaks in John is that where Jesus said, "I will send another." That another, if you look at the original word, the original context of that, it's one just like the one that's going. So the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. And I think for me, it was so impactful, because everything that Jesus did while he was here was so amazing. And then he sends someone who's just like him to be with each and every one of us as individuals, which is absolutely amazing. And it's this morning, it's that same Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's the same Holy Spirit that gives us the words of God to speak into people's lives, to encourage each other. And it's the same Holy Spirit who will empower you and do the work in you, like Jesus did when he was here, and the work that he did with all the people that were around him. So I just want to encourage you that, yeah, man, the Holy Spirit is here, he's with us, he's powerful, and he's good.
I was sitting during worship and I was just looking down at all the different types of shoes, New Balance, Puma, all nice shoes that are there. But the Lord just showed me, in the same way that we're talking now about Jesus living through us, is that those shoes are pretty useless until they're on people's feet and they walk in, and they actually use them. And in the same way, our lives are pretty useless until we walk in the things that God has prepared for us. Yeah, so the vision with the shoes in our lives was quite relevant.
Yeah, there we go. During worship, the Lord gave me a picture of this glass that was filled with water, and it had different colored sands that had settled to the bottom of it. And I just felt Him say that there's things in our hearts that have settled to the bottom that He's wanting to come and stir up and, yeah, just bring to the surface so that He can just work through all those things.
I think we've been speaking about vision and purpose, and we can talk about a lot of things, but sometimes it becomes very complicated, and we ask too many questions, and it makes understanding the answers more difficult. And I felt in my heart to offer a simple answer, that when you ask yourself what is your purpose, it comes down to we're all apprentices, and we have one master. And so if you're wondering what is your purpose in life, your purpose is to become like the master you're apprenticing, the one you're following, the one who's doing the woodwork, the one who's building the walls, or is to learn his trade and to learn his craft and to know his likeness, and that is the vision and the purpose in one sense. So if you don't know what your vision is, look to your master. Look at your apprentice approach and see, are you apprenticing? Are you becoming more and more like your master?
So before we close, I just want to share that ultimately, every single one of us, if you are born again, every single one of us, our ultimate vision is to one day come before the Lord and hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. And to know that we have an eternity with God. And I think for us is to, if we have that perspective, if we have an eternal perspective, the Word says that eternity has been put into the hearts of men. If we know that this life here is but a moment, Ecclesiastes, it says it's like dew on the grass. We're here for a moment, and then we have eternity with God. And I say, if we live with that in mind, that the people we interact with, the people we connect with, wherever we are found, that we share Christ because there's eternity can be found in Him, life can be found in Him, that is our ultimate vision.
Maybe I can also just take this moment just for those that are not up front here and are sitting in your chair. Just for those that may not have given their life to Christ yet, that you are here in church today. Maybe you knew Christ before. Maybe you've become a Christian before. And maybe you've drifted. And the Lord has brought you back today. Or maybe you've never come to grips with who Jesus is and what He means for you. And Jesus is here today, and He's got your number. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows your life. And He has a plan for you. And the plan is not just for now. And this life, His plan is for eternity, like Joe said. And today is a moment where you contemplate not just this life now, but you contemplate eternity. Where will you be for eternity? Because we all know that we have one short life here on earth, and eternity is a very, very long time. And the good news is that God has prepared a place for you in eternity, a safe place, that he sent his son Jesus to the cross to die for you and to die for your sins so that you can be set free, that you can be forgiven of your sins. But you need to receive Christ for that to happen. And maybe you're not aware of what sin is. The Bible says that we have all sinned and all fallen short of the glory of God. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus died on the cross for you personally. He hung there looking at you and seeing your face. And the Bible says that his punishment brought us peace. And if you've not received that peace into your life, the forgiveness of sins, and not received Christ's atonement on the cross, his suffering for you, I ask that you receive him today. And if that's you, I just ask that those that are sitting, if we can just bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you need to receive Christ today, I just ask that you just raise your hand where you are and we'll have someone come around and pray with you. Is there anyone in this meeting today, you know you need to receive Christ? And just raise your hand where you are and I'll just get a leader to come around and pray with you now. Is there anyone in this meeting? Just raise your hand where you are and we'll come pray with you. All right, thank you. We're going to close this meeting. Guys, have an incredible Sunday. If you need prayer for anything,